was small, I believed in Santa Claus, though I knew it was my dad. And I would hang out my stocking at Christmas, open my presents and I'd be glad. But the last time I played Father Christmas, I stood outside of the department store. A gang of kids came over and mugged me and knocked my reindeer to the floor. They said, Father Christmas, give us some money, turn us around with those silly toys. We'll beat you up if you don't have the other. Give us the cash that'll make us a night. Give all the ties to the little rich boys.
Welcome to the Invasion Remake Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Bishop, and it's, what is it today? Sunday, December the 13th here right now, but you guys listening to this, it's going to be December 30th. So we hope you had a Merry Christmas, and we got one more Christmas episode for you. And yes, I'm going to say Christmas, then, you know, fuck you PC people.
Drink every time you hear Christmas.
That's right. Happy holidays, everyone.
Happy Hanukkah, and
Kwanzaa,
Feliz Navidad, and of course, you know, we'll bid you a Happy New Year, because that's a couple days away. So, And today we are talking about the 1959 Santa Claus movie from Mexico.
Yes.
Which we all going into it just called Santa versus Satan.
Yes.
And this movie is fucking bonkers.
It's totally bonkers. Trish found it somehow. How did you find it?
I Wikipedia'd it. And then I said Santa versus Satan? Of course. I want to watch that. Just looking for something with like a great idea that we could do, which is the point of this podcast, is to find movies that may not have been executed properly in the first place, but have a nugget of an idea that would be wonderful if you could just rework it in a different way.
I didn't introduce you guys. Jeff
you
McNair
didn't.
And Trish Conklin, everybody.
All right.
It's like episode 19. They should know who we are.
That's right. I just like...
But they won't know who our guest is.
They won't.
Why don't you make an introduction?
Well, today I have brought one of the best...
You bought me.
Oh, we'll get into that with this movie.
You better pay her for this.
I probably should. I feel so bad. I brought one of the best comedians in Calgary right now, Amy Bug, everybody.
Woo! Hey, what's up?
Lots of nice little pops on my
sorry
mixer. No, that's great. It's great. So, yeah, 1959 Santa Claus movie. This was written and directed by a bunch of people that I can't really pronounce, but I'm going to try.
I was waiting for this part of the show, actually.
Okay, so...
Do you want me to make an effort, or have you
Well,
down?
You know, it was directed and written by Rene Cardona.
Oh, nice, okay. Nice. Okay,
thank
you did
you very
that.
Much. And co-written by Adolfo Torres Portillo. Not bad. Okay.
We'll go with that.
And anybody who wants to try the actors, it's not like anybody, the Spanish actors all got dubbed over anyway. So
true.
Out of the version I think we all saw.
And largely left out of any like kind of cast listing for it.
Yeah. Although, let's try this. Jose Elias Moreno was Santa Claus. Cesaro Quezadas was Pedro in my IMDb listing, but that's Pitch, the demon.
Yeah, that confused me.
Yeah, he wasn't.
No,
that was Pedro. Was
Pedro the little rich boy?
Pedro's the kid.
He was the little kid
in the cowboy outfit in Santa's that was black dude child labor force.
Right.
Oh yeah,
got a man the telescope.
Yeah, a man the telescope.
There we go. Yes.
And Jose. Luis
the child
Aguirre
the child
was El Diablo, which was Pitch.
El Diablo.
He's credited as El Diablo, but they call him Pitch, which I like better anyway.
Yeah,
well, he's supposed to be
cool.
A demon, not really
the
devil himself.
And Armando Aurelio was Merlin. And I'm not going to get into any more after that because they get really hard to pronounce.
No, Lupita?
Lupita, actually, I don't know if I wrote that down. So
yeah, it's only a principal character. It's no big deal.
No big deal, but at the same time, I think all the children on here were kidnapped off the streets of Mexico.
She looks horrified the whole movie.
They all do. And, man, let's get into that opening.
All right.
I was actually hoping you could just, like, run from the minute the beginning credits stop until he finishes laughing and goes to the organ, because it's like the most maniacal shit I have ever heard.
Yeah.
It's well, too long. And then I'm he gets the that's that, like 10 yeah. minutes. Yeah. That is a long
of him laughing.
Insane
him
laugh.
Laughing and him laughing and like over the, all the children that he's kidnapped and taken.
I do have a clip later on when he gets run up the tree and there's a little bit of him laughing up there, but that's the big yeah. scene, so
yeah, that's the climax of our picture. Santa so, gets caught in a tree.
So, Amy, what did you first think when I pitched this to you and you started watching it and you're like, oh no, what has Trish done to me?
Well, I don't even know, because I was like, okay, well, it's super old. And then I was like, it's dubbed, but I don't know over what. And I was like, all, like, every child from every country was there. So I'm like, I don't even know what country this is coming from. And then I was like, oh, they're focusing on the Mexican children.
Yes, yes, the Mexican children, the only ones who could sing, really. Everybody yeah. else was tone deaf.
Skipped over all the white children. Why yeah, even
bother?
We got
the Americans, and there were no Canadians. I wanted to point that out.
Yeah, I know. I saw that too.
Yeah, no Canadians. Maybe we're just too close. So.
But there was just something terrible about it, like just a child workforce. He's like, he says at the beginning, I better get to making the toys. No, you don't do dick. These children are making all the toys.
Yeah, he plays his like Viking war drums a la a giant church organ.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but like they were working outside because it was snowing all the time.
Yeah.
So not only does he have this child labor force from kidnapped from around the world, they're forced to work outside. And they eat clouds, apparently.
I guess it was how they got around sweatshops. You can't sweat when you're outside in the cold.
Yeah, you can't sweat well, when, yeah, you're I guess when you're living. You're an interplanetary being.
Which yeah, I love. Castles in the sky. Castles, and yeah. I don't know where they get their Santa legend from, but
it was awesome.
It was crazy. This castle floating in space and
one of three.
Yeah, one of three. We don't know. I'm guessing Easter Merlin Bunny. Lives in another one of them. And
really, I was going with Easter Bunny or Tooth
and
Fairy.
His caveman Q guy that builds his keys.
Yeah.
No, that was Vulcan.
Vulcan? I missed
or
his name.
Or Hephaestus in like I think Greek.
Greek.
So we got some good mythology representation there.
Oh, for sure.
But, when he's checking out all his child labor workforce, and it opens up with the children from Africa, and I have to note that that one just like, uh-oh, this is going to be bad. When they're all in loincloths and spears and stuff in their hands, and I'm like, oh, this is one of the worst stereotypes you could do, and then they did all these regions around the world.
Wait,
it was child labor force, and they're all like that. They're all
Africa?
Stereotyped.
Oh yeah, was it? Was it just Africa?
Yeah.
Was it Kenya?
Nope.
I think it was
Africa.
Just Africa. They were just being kind of vague of where he kidnapped his children from. It felt like these were all the losers from Hunger Games. You know?
No, they were the tributes.
Yeah. They were
the losers die in Hunger Games, but the tributes are just the people that get, like, sent.
Yes, these are the children that were sacrificed to Santa Claus's child labor camp from, you know, okay, well, I'll bring you gifts, but the rest of the year, I could be terrorizing you unless you add to my child labor force. So, what happened to the elves?
I know, yeah, I think
they go on strike.
The first thing about this movie that has to go is the child workforce.
I'm like,
no, I think elves are too far-fetched for this movie. They were like, no one will buy that.
Yeah, no, the castle in the sky.
The space castle's fine.
And the stuff that didn't make it into Pee Wee Herman's playhouse.
I totally made a note of that. Yeah, he lives in an insane, an insaner version of Pee Wee's playhouse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That mouth.
I get the feeling Tim Burton saw this movie.
Maybe he did, yeah. There's a lot of aesthetic stolen. Well, no, well, the design on that with a different guy.
Yeah.
I figure Tim Burton might have seen it because, you know, the three bad children? At one point, they planned to kidnap Santa so that they can have him for themselves and have all the stuff that he has.
It's the same thing.
They are Lock, Shock, and Barrel from Nightmare Before Christmas.
They totally are. Actually, let's run this trailer and then we'll really get deep into this thing.
Whether you're in a cave or behind a million mountains, Santa Claus sees you through his master eye and invites you to his magic wonderland. See Santa Claus in his magic motion picture. Come past the doors of his towering castle into a fantastic crystal laboratory filled with weird and wonderful secrets. Into his heavenly workshop, the most marvelous toy factory of all.
watches battle with a mischievous demon who wants to get children into trouble. You'd better watch out. You'll want to shout about the picture that won the Golden Gate Family Film Award. Everyone, everywhere, is waiting for the K. Gordon Murray presentation, Santa Claus, in Eastman Color Scope. Saturday and Sunday matinee only at a theater near you.
All right, that was the trailer for Santa Claus from 1959. And low-budget children's movie, and with a creepy tone. Like, it's Santa Claus versus
but to be fair, like, I don't know how low-budget could it be for 1959?
It seemed pretty decent budget
for 1959.
Well, for a foreign film, too. I mean, it's not going to look as good as, like, Wizard of Oz and set-wise, yeah. But they certainly had fun building shit.
Well, I think it's, like, part of the golden age of Mexican cinema. Where it was, they had a whole golden age. Yeah, there is a whole thing. There was like a large period of time in Mexico where they were making a lot of movies, and there was a lot of crossover between like Mexican cinema, like coming up to Hollywood. There's lots of crossover with actors. They were doing there's some really decent movies that came out like of that time. There's like a great Dracula where I can't remember who was in it.
Dracula.
The actor said that he preferred that version to the English version.
I do have that version. It was shot on the same sets as the classic Universal Dracula, and it was shot at night while they were shooting the American one during the day on the same sets. And yeah, the Mexican one is a better movie for sure.
Yeah, they were doing some great stuff there. But I have to say, when I was looking, doing some research for it, there was a movie called Santa from 1931. And I'm like, ooh, they did another Santa movie? No. They didn't. What Santa's about is a woman whose husband was cheating on her. Then she has to find shelter in a whorehouse and then becomes a bitter and cynical old woman.
It's not Merry the same Christmas.
Merry Christmas. But it's literally called Santa, and it's from 1931.
Is it Mexican?
It's Mexican. That, so I think it was like around Saint.
Awesome.
So they were just like playing with the name.
It meant
at that point,
well,
right?
No, I think it just meant like Santa meant Saint, like Santa Maria.
Like a soft pass. They're like, well, this did okay.
But yeah, I forgot it was Mexico, so I think, oh, Santa. I just automatically thought Santa.
Right.
Does he call himself Papa Noel at one point?
Yep.
Yeah,
that's weird. I've never heard that.
Well, he goes by different names. Like in the UK, he's Father Christmas, Santa Claus.
Yeah,
Germany.
I like that they do kind of acknowledge that, even though this all
it's
takes
a world
place
it's a worldly movie.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, Mexican kids painted white are playing children of all races. It's awesome. I actually was disappointed.
Sure, they're lighter-skinned Mexican children.
I was disappointed that, like, the Chinese children, the Japanese children, and the, quote, Oriental children, which is Indian, weren't more racist. I was a little disappointed, honestly.
Weren't more racist?
Yeah, I was hoping they would, like, push that bar a little
further. Wanted a Mickey Rooney Breakfast at Tiffany's type of deal?
Totally. Like, they set the bar so high with the African children, and I felt like they
just
got lazy.
You wanted, like, Peter Lorre playing Chinese?
Oh, that would have been amazing. Have him dub it. He should have dubbed Santa Claus. That would be a whole way better movie.
Peter Lorre is Santa Claus. That would be awesome.
Because,
you know, Santa does come off a bit creepy at times.
Oh my god, he is super creepy. Does he ever blink? Did you guys notice he never blinks in like any scene?
Oh my god.
Super weird.
I did not notice that, but yeah. They were probably eye-dropping him between scenes.
So Santa Claus is on acid the entire time. I just imagine like a Clockwork Orange type of deal.
Yeah.
I got the feeling the drugs were flowing free.
Take his eyes off the children, that's why.
Oh, yeah, he's always watching.
Always watching them.
Always
can't blink.
Watching. And he has high-tech bizarro equipment.
Oh, that one
Let's
eye.
Let's talk about the high-tech bizarro equipment. It is some giant's face that's been dismembered and made into this James Bond equipment.
But then there's like the tiny little one-eyed monster tube thing that kind of creeps out and looks at things.
Yeah, well, he's got this big telescope thing from the inside, but then
very rape tentacle-like
from the outside. Yeah, it's this eye stalk that pokes out and looks at the planet.
It reminded me of War of the Worlds. That eye stalk thing. It just reminded me of War of the Worlds.
Okay, except this one actually looked like an eye.
It looked like an eye.
And to listen in, of course, there is like a satellite dish looking thing.
With a giant ear in it.
Which was really just a fan with an ear on it.
Yeah.
Because you could actually see the fan blades behind it, which is really funny. So it was an oscillating fan.
And then, like you say, the Pee Wee's Playhouse level where there's like the gauges, but they look kind of like a face.
Yeah. And then
the eyes.
The mouth was the creepiest part.
Oh, my God.
That what was that made out of?
I don't. I think it was made of the stuff they make fleshlights out of.
It looked very porous.
It was a prototype fleshlight. So you could put your
what was Santa doing when those elves weren't around? Oh, no.
They're not around.
There's no elves.
They're not. It's just children.
We understand why they left.
Yeah.
No, I'm seriously, they probably figured elves were too far-fetched. It didn't fit in with the mythos, which included heaven and hell.
Yeah.
Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we have?
Crazy Merlin.
Merlin, yeah. That was the other thing, too. And alchemy and witchcraft.
Yeah.
And there was another one.
But elves, made a note.
No, elves are ridiculous. No one will buy that.
No.
No.
Well, they're probably more expensive.
Mm-hmm. They are, yeah. If you're gonna, well, they probably figured out, hey, we shouldn't be a slave labor force.
Elves are unionized.
And kids are stupid, so.
I'm pretty sure in 1959 Mexico there was no such thing as a union, but.
No, is it a thing in 2015?
Probably not. I don't know. There's a whole communist movement down there, wasn't there? I could be wrong.
Before my time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm thinking of Frida Kahlo. Very huge in the communist socialist.
So if you Frida had a magical gold key like Santa had made by
built
Vulcan,
by Vulcan, yeah.
That could unlock any door on Earth. Now, I get the impression that that's sort of like an annual thing. Like, he has to have it made. So, like, if you put, like, a new lock Christmas Day, then you wouldn't get any presents. So do you think that the poor children didn't get anything because their parents were paranoid and kept
I'm guessing the magic...
No.
You have to build the new key because the magic expires. It's like milk. You got to use it in a certain amount of time.
Yeah. I was more concerned about how these are just tools to become a predator.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah.
A key that could open any door, and he had magic powder that could make people fall asleep. It was just very unnerving.
Oh my God, yeah, you're right.
And the flower to turn invisible.
Yeah.
Oh, like, so he could totally
put
victimize
that in the wrong
you.
Hands.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, the pedophile vibe in this movie is extreme.
It's very strong.
To be fair, I think it all starts with the children in the workshop. To have somebody, like, he's got, it sounds like prisoner children.
Yeah, the only thing he was missing was the white windowless van.
But he had white soulless reindeer.
Yeah, the robot wind-up reindeer were kind of
And that noise
too.
That reindeer made? I didn't know reindeer made a noise.
What the hell?
I don't know if that was it. Like, did they just, like, record
his
maniacal cackle and then play it backwards? And then, like, its lip curled, which I thought was brilliant. Like,
yeah.
Very good animatronic.
Yeah, I don't
and, like,
think
he
that's
has,
nothing.
Just a toy sled, Santa's gotta wind it. That'll last all day.
And that almost takes an hour.
Oh, yeah.
The,
just to get the to kid this intro is unreal.
That's like 10, 15 minutes.
That's what I say. Yeah, 10, 15 minutes. Just all the kids from around the world.
With this creepy organ playing and laughter and never blinking. And it's creepy. Do you think his beard was real? It looked real.
I think if you fleshed out the story, you could streamline this movie really good. Like, I would ditch most of what happened in the castle and make most of it about the battle on Earth.
Yeah. Well, he starts peeking in on kids, and he sees three groups.
Three groups of children.
Rich kids whose parents are kind of neglecting him.
But he's a good kid.
But he's a good kid. Then there's Lupita, who's a poor good kid.
She skirts the line.
Being tempted by the devil.
Yeah, but exactly.
She was not tempted by the devil to steal that doll the first time. She took it.
Oh,
and
that's
then
true.
He
says stuff.
And was like, you should take it.
Yeah.
And then I can't wait till we get to the adult.
And that made me wonder if their narrator's almost a character in and of itself, because it's narrated through the whole thing. And he's talking to the characters at times. No, Lupita,
no. Lupita.
So he's the opposite. You know, there's the devil on the shoulder scenario, and he's the conscience of the characters, in a way. Not like anybody can hear him, but...
Yeah, well, it's like those kind of British pantos where they're on stage and like, look behind you, oh no, like it's supposed to be that sort of you're part of the story type of deal. I think his purpose is to be the audience, be like, no, don't do that.
Yeah, he's the voice of the audience and trying to get the kids
involved.
Or the voice
of God.
Ooh.
Could be.
I mean,
there's some religious
overtones. This is heavily Catholic, so...
Mm.
Yeah, it's not people are just bad. The devil just tempts them to do it. No, people can be bad.
Yeah, they're inherently felt guilty after it.
Yeah.
Yes,
well, the third group is the three boys.
Mm-hmm.
And
the three sociopathic boys.
Yeah, they they'd be really bad adults too. Like these kids should be in juvie at least, and probably adult jail.
See, they really don't need any tempting at all. Like it's like the work is there. They don't have to do anything.
No.
Like, no, Pitch should have not paid any attention. I was like, these guys will do it for themselves. I don't have to.
Well, our lesser demon summoned up rocks. That was pretty intense. Seeing it's like he's invisible and you can't hear him. He's like, here, use these rocks out of nowhere.
And they just know to throw them, but somehow Santa gets hit with the rock.
Yeah, in space. He gets hit. I guess any representation of Santa Claus that gets defaced is also... Was that a robot Santa Claus in that store?
Yes, it was a robot Santa Claus.
Okay. It was terrifying.
It was.
I was horrified. Face.
That man who just laughed and laughed, like Lupita's mom said. I'm like, yeah, it never stopped.
Yeah, no, and yeah, Santa Claus takes the rock to the head. Now, Pitch is a demon from hell that's been sent by Lucifer to ruin Christmas, essentially. Yeah.
I had a hard time deciding if it was Pitch with a P or Pitch with a B.
I know, yeah. Right?
Santa seems to say...
Because he was acting like a bitch.
Yeah, bitch. You little bitch.
He's clearly, like, a trained ballet dancer or something. Hey, like, he just had all this, like, stage flair.
Now, I was kind of wondering, like... If I came out with any kind of lesson from this movie, is that interpretive dance is pure evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. And so are puffy pants.
And puffy pants.
And Spanish people that kind of look like Michael Richards.
Oh my god, yeah. That's what he looked like. I'm with you.
And he's like glossy grease paint.
Yeah, the red.
But ears that matched, which was amazing. I don't know if they painted the ears also.
And the ears that like, they move, but they're like kind of just taped at the top.
He had like the best devil costume. It would be like a bad Day of the Dead devil costume, basically.
Yeah.
With puffy dance pants.
We had the long, pointy chin. Like, yeah, he was the typical what you'd think of a devil looking like from the 40s. Mm-hmm. Kind of thing, yeah.
And he was threatened to be submerged in ice cream if he didn't...
chocolate ice cream, no less.
Yeah. And he's like, but no, chocolate makes my tummy upset.
I'm like...
You're right, he was a little bitch.
Yeah, I'm like, wow. Hell's not... wasn't what it used to be.
Hell's so different, guys.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't sound all that bad.
Now, wasn't there a moment where he... I can't remember if it's when he convinces the kids to throw the rock through the window or something, but... He kind of was, like, really pleased with himself. He's like, oh, the devil's going to love this.
Yeah, the standards are fairly low.
Fairly low, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he does some stuff. Like, he's not very good at this. Like, it's almost as if Lucifer is like, I don't want this plan to work. I'm going to send my most incompetent demon to go do this work for me.
But near the end, he's trying he ramps it up. Like, he's trying to convince adults that there's a serial killer outside.
I know, but he's still...
And, you know when he's whispering to the mom while she's sleeping, he's telling her there's a rapist. You know that's happening.
Yeah.
They don't say it, but you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get it's some sort of predator.
Yeah, it's creepy. Yeah, I guess his whole plan wasn't really to ruin Christmas. It was to expose Santa.
Yeah.
Yeah, which would ruin Christmas, but it's not... The original plan, what he was supposed to do, was make all the kids behave badly.
Yeah.
So, like, just to do evil in the world, not expose Santa Claus. But that's what he ends up doing at the end.
Yeah, to do evil, and then that's kind of his plan B.
He's an ambitious bitch.
He's like, yeah, fine, I can't get all the kids to behave badly, but you know what? I'm going to take down the ringleader.
So, yeah, so, oh, man, so, yeah, he's got, like, this high-tech stuff. He gets the sand, the mystical sand.
Yeah, there's a sand that makes kids go to sleep.
Yeah, and Merlin, I don't know what the hell's going on with Merlin, but...
Why is he sing every time he takes a step? That was really annoying.
Well, I think he was pretending he was riding a horse. Because at one point they say, no, you don't, now's not the time to pretend you're on a horsey. Horse. Play horsey. And he's... Every time he's walking and kind of got this little hop. I'm like, you're insane.
Yeah. Like, I feel it was insane. A very insensitive portrayal of mental illness.
It's this whole movie.
Well, yeah, very insensitive portrayal of mental illness and, you know, child abduction.
Predation. Yeah, it was. Yeah, Merlin was a bizarre addition to the mythos of Santa Claus.
Well, yeah, well, Vulcan
no more bizarre
was too.
Than his blacksmith.
But the idea of having Vulcan do it makes sense. Because, like, he was, like, the one of the gods. Like, he would create things, like, ironwork, and he would do things. Like, that's why he was there. Vulcan makes sense. Merlin, not quite as much, but considering what Merlin was producing for him, that Merlin kind of makes sense, because it's got to be magical powders and magical things. Like, but the flower thing, I don't really get.
No.
He sniffs the flower, and he goes invisible.
But then he sniffs it again, and then he comes back?
Well, they never say that.
Well, that's what they show.
Well, they don't show anything. They show him leaning back and sniffing the flower. He goes
and
invisible.
Then he's like, oh no, how do I get back? And then he's sniffing it when he comes back.
He is, but he hasn't changed position. So he said, Merlin said the same as last year. Idiot, basically. So yeah, something else.
Really? Because it sounds like he's just sniffing it again.
Nah, it's probably just rubbing one out before it comes back.
My phone went off. I owe everybody a beer.
Oh.
Nice. We'll take you up on that.
not you guys listening. Sorry, I don't have a bottomless pit of beer in my fridge. So,
but yeah, like what was it? It was like one where it was like a thing to make kids go to sleep. One was like a dream, but you think you're awake.
The sleep dream one was the same.
The sleep dream was the same powder. Okay.
Yeah, flower to go invisible. Key that unlocks any door annually.
Yes.
Robot deer, wind up robot deer, soulless deer. With the shitty, they're like, oh, yeah. Oh, and remember then, when the Russian kids were trying to convince him to make a Sputnik?
Yeah, Sputnik. He's like, he doesn't like, they were like, you know, you got to ramp it up, you know, get rid of the sled. You know,
he's
we
like,
have
yes,
spaceships
a modern
and
space
Sputnik.
Vehicle would be good for interplanetary travel. Like, thanks, Santa. It's 1959.
The space race is on.
The Earth, it's like, it's maybe it looks like this, you know, because they weren't quite there yet.
Yeah.
Even in, 64... In Space Odyssey, they didn't get it right. It's close, but
yeah,
crazy. I just thought that part was really out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't like hit them for like speaking out of turn.
All right,
like just load the sled.
I'm wondering if like he just has to get more children as they age out of being useful at the North Pole, or do they remain perpetually young and in this hell?
I think he eats them.
Hopefully not too much, because we do notice that he has to exercise so he can be thin enough to get down the chimneys.
Yeah, his exercise is this old school vibrating belt that he throws on his belly.
Yeah.
But his training gym is amazing. It's just like these fake chimneys sitting there. And he's like, yeah, I fit.
I fit in this chimney.
Did you guys feel that like the actor had a really hard time with the rope ladder?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Like, it was painful to watch him try to do it. It was like watching an old man try to operate a rope ladder.
I think it was just this old fat guy.
Well, and as we've established, he dies like 10 years after this movie. He was an older gentleman.
Right.
Rope ladders are hard for anyone, though, really.
Yeah, true, but it just looked terrible for him. Like, just very arduous.
Oh, we're forgetting the most hilarious scene in the movie and the best device that he had at his disposal.
Oh, the parasol?
The parasol.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I love that bit where it's like, Santa can just lower himself down in his magical parasol, and he just stands there, and it's like, you can tell he's just lowering himself really slowly. I rewound it and called my wife into the room so that she could watch that sequence. It was gross. I watched it at least twice.
It was good.
So was this funny. Pre-Mary Poppins?
59?
I'm not
maybe
sure.
Maybe not for the book, I guess.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, Mary Poppins had its own story before that, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
That movie wasn't written to be a movie.
Yeah,
it was
it was a
story prior.
And maybe they just took that. They obviously took it from
took
there.
That
yeah, the Disney movie was in 64.
Okay, yeah.
But
I kind of figured
Mary
it was
Poppins
way later.
Is before the movie. Yeah. The magical parasol, which of course is because...
Oh, yeah, in the 30s.
But then we get to the reason why he needs to use the magical parasol, which is because Pitch has moved the chimney out of the way. And you can still see the giant hole where the rest of the chimney is located.
You've just gone down the hole.
Yeah.
Well, no, because he stands there.
No, it's there. I watched it. He walks around it. He doesn't get into it.
That's so weird.
Yeah, like they left the hole just sitting there.
Yeah, he gets into the chimney and he gets about like just down to his knees or whatever.
He's like, oh no, there's nothing behind it, and doesn't even look. And like there's a giant, it's a giant hole.
Yeah, it's
about the size of this living room.
Yeah, it turns into like Looney Tunes for a while.
Yeah.
Well, just the last half.
Yeah.
Well, in the first half, actually.
A lot of it. A lot of it's Looney Tunes.
And his castle's like Marvin Martian's lair. And,
yeah.
I don't know. If I was Santa Claus, I'd, like, paint a hole and then just go down it. Because yeah. That's how it works, right?
We didn't have any magic.
If the cartoon physics work for the demon, it should work for Santa Claus as well.
Yeah. Well, if he's got the key, just go in the door again. Like, that's why you've got a key. Why are you relying on chimneys?
And that is super creepy that he just, like, has a key, just walks in, puts everybody to sleep with, like, magic powder. And there's that weird truth serum or whatever, regret serum, that he gives the parents.
Oh, yeah, with the parents.
And it's like...
It's a remembrance serum.
Remembrance serum, and they're like, well... And he's like, oh, only a couple in love can take it. And they're like, well, what if we're not in love, right? Because they ask.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And he's like, basically, it will boil your insides out.
It'll boil your inside out. So I'm like, well, if you don't have love, you can't drink. And I'm like, oh, okay, so commit. Screw you.
And they're like,
if you're a single person and don't have love in your life, you know, Santa just says, suck it. That's all he doesn't
Some
give a shit
about you. Some stranger gives you this bubbling thing and tells you it's going to melt your insides. And of course you're going to drink it.
Yeah. Would you drink it?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Was I the only one who thought these people were insane?
No.
I like to party, so.
You like to party, yes. Like, who knows what's going to happen
now? Yeah, there ain't no party like a Santa Claus party.
That's true, but it usually ends up in sleeping, and you don't remember a Santa Claus party.
Yeah. Now, when he's poking in onto the kids' dreams, you know, that's I don't know. Creepy. It is kind of creepy, and, you know, the first kid, he dreams about these giant presents full of his parents. So, yeah. Like, oh, you poor neglected child.
I know,
that's
right?
What you want.
He just wants his parents there.
Yeah, and then Lupita, who is obsessed with dolls, and after her dream, I'm like, I think I'd want something else. Cause
her dream was amazing.
Yeah.
I love it.
So creepy and, like, uncoordinated.
Oh, yeah, it was bad dancing. I kind of, in my version, I want that to stay in, but I want it, like, just a brilliantly well choreographed piece and not, I don't know, the High School Musical without, you know, flashiness.
Yeah, I mean, maybe
like Claire Somme High School Musical, like rural Alberta High School Musical type of level of polish.
Oh, man.
it was bad. And, like, I think, like, with the double-headed...
I like the double-headed dolls.
And they don't,
that's
like,
creepy.
Hide it. It's just, like, they're just like, hey, this thing has two sides for no real reason.
No, I think it was part to make it, like, more nefarious, because these are evil dolls encouraging her to steal.
It was super nefarious, yeah. And then they're, like, on her to steal. And she's like, no, stealing is evil.
I will not steal.
I will not steal. And she'll just repeat herself over and over and over again. I don't know if she got scared of those dolls. I would have. So I don't know if anybody
else... She looks terrified that whole time.
So the set design for that, they come out of the parent-sized boxes.
Yes.
But the lids lift up, right? Mm-hmm. Rather than come off like they did in the other one. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if anybody noticed this, and maybe I was, like, too into that scene. But the shadow cast on the wall was Stonehenge. Did anybody else see that? And I'm not bullshitting you. It straight up was Stonehenge.
Well, we already have alchemy in this.
Yeah,
thing, so.
So
why not? I guess might as well throw
some
that
more,
in.
Some more pagan imagery.
But yeah, it, totally. And then, like, with the dancing.
I'll have to find that spot.
Yeah, go back to it and just the first shot of it. Well, every shot, but the first shot when they pan back and they've started dancing, the lighting on the boxes, it forms Stonehenge in the background.
Yeah.
It was really weird.
But I love that. But that scene actually has a whole lot of potential to it. You could do something really amazing with it, I feel.
I thought it was really amazing.
Well,
no,
the fact that
you
call
it
the Stonehenge thing, I'm like, now that's starting to roll in my brain.
You
could
polish it
up
a lot and make it more kind of otherworldly and more like a dream sequence, not just dry ice and people dancing not very well together.
I love the smoke transitions and everything. Like, every scene is a smoke
transition. How much dry ice did this movie go through? I think that's 90% of its budget.
Yeah. There's no snow anywhere. Did you guys notice any snow?
Nope.
Well, I mean, this is happening. The main parts of his deliveries are happening in
Mexico. Yeah.
So,
it only snows on the children who have to work outside to make the toys.
Well, yeah, no kidding. They're all... It's snowing and they're forced to sing songs and
all of them have to play ukulele.
Yeah.
And you notice they're like rebelling, right? Because when they're filling the sack, they're just throwing all the ukuleles we just saw in the dance number in the sack. Right? So there's a sequel to this movie that never happened, but they revolted.
There you go.
City of Lost Children, telling you.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because I have a link to that.
Nice.
Because when I was doing research for my remake, I thought about it, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's how I want it to look. I want it to look visually like City of Lost Children. And then I thought, wait a minute, There's a fucking Santa Claus in that movie too.
Was there? Yes,
there was.
Yeah, that was also a creepy scene. There you go. Well, it all comes together then.
It is, and we'll get to that.
City of Lost Children is secretly the sequel to this movie.
Maybe.
What else can we say about this movie? There's so much.
It's so nuts. Okay.
It's so gonzo.
The big plan for Pitch is to keep him from delivering. Oh, the mechanical wind-up reindeer will turn to dust if exposed to sunlight in the morning.
So he has to get there before sun.
So I'm not sure how mechanical reindeer will turn to dust, but...
It's part of the magical crap that has to go.
Even though they say it's a giant toy sled.
Then there's the other part of it too, is even after if they turn to dust and he can't get off Earth, he can only eat the stuff that they have up in the castle.
Are the reindeer actually doing
anything?
Santa
will starve to death
rockets,
if left on Earth.
He's got rockets on the back of the thing. I always just assumed that they were ornamental at that point.
I think they're just for show.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe
so who gives a shit if they turn to dust?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're like, you know, when you have a boat, what's the thing at the back? A rudder. Maybe they're like a rudder type of deal.
I don't know. I don't know the aerodynamics of mechanical reindeers, so
or magical sleds. We have to admit we have a blind spot.
Amy, do you have a theory?
I believe the physics are all wrong.
Physics.
Aerodynamics, yeah.
The aerodynamics of this.
Those big reindeer antlers would just slow them down so much.
That is true. That is true.
I'm gonna go with the Sputnik theory. I think that's a much better call.
It's a more practical type of vehicle.
Just have 12 satellites just pulling you along.
That would work better.
Yeah.
Did you catch how
captive Russian children were onto something?
Yeah, exactly. Something.
But did you notice how Santa visits other planets during Christmas? Did you catch that?
I did, yeah.
Mars, Venus, and Jupiter. Mm-hmm. He delivers presents to those three planets also.
Or the Mars rover is still looking for that town.
Yeah, they'll find it.
It's found water, so it's got to be close.
Yep,
Matt Damon's up there too.
Yeah, they're just looking for Matt Damon.
Hey,
that's the only reason he went, to bring presents to Matt Damon. He gets a doll or something, and he's like, no, fucking get me off this goddamn planet. That's what I want for Christmas.
They're like, no, Matt Damon, box office won't support this.
Well, they can't go searching for him again. The studio spent so much money searching for and rescuing Matt Damon.
Matt Damon needs to be rescued all the time.
All the time.
So every year.
I'll say this, though. The Martian is the best potatoes in space movie ever made, and I stand by that.
Oh, okay.
Guaranteed.
I think we established in a previous podcast that I think it's the only potatoes in space movie.
True. It's right up there with Over the Top, the greatest arm wrestling movie ever made.
Oh, God.
Possibly only.
Yeah.
Well, then let's get back to a better movie.
We may remake that
one
at some point.
Santa Claus is better than Over the Top.
We'll turn our hats backwards and get ready to remake Over the Top.
Yes, it is.
So Pitch's plan goes from making kids smash windows to murdering Santa Claus in the course of about an hour.
Yeah, they wanted to kidnap him and make him their slave.
That was the kids, though.
Yeah, that was the kids. That was a great idea.
How does he corner Santa Claus to get an angry mob after him? He chases him up a tree with a dog after clipping his bag, so he loses the flower and his magical powder.
I thought that was a knife when he pulled out the scissors.
I thought so, too. I thought he was just going to outright stab Santa.
Yeah,
and then he sneezes, and apparently Santa can't see him, but he does, because we see in a previous scene where he plays a trick. Santa's behind him.
Now, what's dumb is, like, he's like, whenever he's around, Santa smells sulfur. Now, Santa is in his sleigh. His sleigh is, like, way up in the sky, away from... Like, where else does he think his sulfur smell is coming from? That means Pitch is, like, right nearby. On his sleigh. Santa's kind of he's an idiot predator. That's part of what Santa is in this movie. He's, like, a big idiot predator.
There's two predators on the same turf is what's going on.
Well, he's clearly mentally unstable. Nobody laughs that much.
Yeah, true.
It isn't a jolly laugh. It's, like, downright maniacal.
Yeah, it's creepy.
It's forced. Yeah, I found it was very forced.
Yes, it doesn't feel natural. No. I don't feel his joy.
Just keep slimming.
Yeah. You don't feel the joy?
I don't feel the joy.
That's what he says to the children, too.
Oh.
Feel my joy.
This got dark fast, guys. This got dark fast.
Does anybody remember our Grinch episode?
Yeah. That is true. We did accuse him of terrorism.
Where you found the porn parody?
Yeah, the Grinch who gaped Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, so so let's face it.
I'm assuming Christmas is Christmas.
This is going to be an annual thing of us just being really disgusting at Christmas.
Yeah, the porn parody of this would be insane.
I didn't even want to look at porn parodies because I don't think they did this one specifically, but there's probably a million Santa Claus fucking people parodies. So.
There's probably a dozen with elves all over the place.
There'd be lots if they got that flower and all this magic powder.
No, those would be crimes.
Yeah, that's called rape.
Porns are generally when somebody gets paid and it's okay.
The flower lands at Lupita's house. I'm thinking the dust landed at Bill Cosby's house.
We can only fucking...
Again? We went two whole podcasts without making a Bill Cosby rape joke. And then we're right back here again.
Well,
hey, if he stops, we'll stop. He can suck it.
Yeah, cut it out, Billy.
Yeah, no, please stop.
Only one of those women had caught it on some Kodak film. Then.
Okay, yeah. So,
oh, no.
So, yeah, after losing his predator items, he passes this dog named Dante,
which
they called Daddy.
Yeah, which is
creepy.
Which I don't know why they know what the name was. I don't know why they would.
Yeah, it's right
in
the doghouse, and then Pitch, calls it Daddy.
Daddy?
Yeah. That's
weird. Or maybe it was just a mispronunciation, but it was Dante, as in Dante's Inferno.
Yeah. Which, of course, that dog's going to be a badass dog. So, you know, Pitch is talking in his ear like he does with the other children and stuff, trying to make him do things. And it's like, okay, chase Santa. And dog comes after Santa. Santa turns around. Well, you know what? Let's let this play out. I've got this lined up.
Yeah, and you can listen to how creepy Santa is.
Yeah. So let this play out.
Santa is not afraid of that dog. If he goes after him, he still thinks he can disappear.
Go get him, Daddy. Shake that old goat. Bite him. Finish him off.
How can old Pitch be so mean, sicking a vicious dog on Santa like that?
The powders. The flower to disappear. No powders and no flower. What do I do now?
Run, Santa! Climb the tree! It's your only chance!
Okay, so yes, the dog chases Santa up a tree.
Yep.
And there he stays for a good long while because he's afraid of the dog. Like, this is the big
climax. Of the movie, yep.
Yeah. Yep.
This is the big climax. Dog chasing Santa up a tree. And meanwhile, Pitch is visiting the neighborhood houses and the parents sleeping and whispering.
Somebody outside, I don't know.
Yeah, there's a predator, there's a thief, and cops are called and fire department's called.
And the Red Cross for some reason.
I
remember them announcing that. Why the Red Cross?
Suddenly this turned into some humanitarian disaster or something. And
I don't get it. But yeah, apparently everybody comes to converge on the street and Santa's like, oh no, they'll see Santa.
Yeah, this felt like the climax of Frankenstein, but just less exciting.
Yeah, no fire, just one single dog.
Yeah, one dog.
But they still spray everybody down with a hose for some reason.
Yeah.
Well, we're here.
Well, you know, he figures he's calling Merlin at this point, needing help or whatever, because Santa can't think on his own.
he's not very smart.
But he's got a hell of a long distance plan in 1959
mm-hmm.
to space, because he's just shouting.
Well, they just it's basically they have all that stuff.
Oh, that ear satellite thing.
Yeah, so that's why they can hear him. Yeah. Otherwise, he'd just be SOL.
Yeah, yeah, and Merlin hippity hops into the giant mouth.
Use the cat, and then he throws like this mechanical cat down for the dog to chase away.
Yeah, out of his toy sack.
Mechanical cat. Is that what that was?
Yeah. That's what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, that was amazing. It was like one of those rabbits, like on a dog track or whatever.
Yeah.
Like it just skits away. It doesn't even move. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
So when everybody converges on this tree, he's not there. and the crowds, everybody, all those parents and stuff were kind of building up their courage to go outside. It took everybody forever to get to this fucking tree.
I know, right?
Oh, yeah, it was like 20 minutes.
Like, emergency response time in Mexico is horrible.
Yeah, like, and it's like a mass panic. But of course, here's the thing. If you're getting people upset about something, oh my God, something terrible is happening at this tree, you're not going to respond as quickly as like, oh no, somebody's knocking over a liquor store, because you have something concrete to go for.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean,
you're not going to respond to the call to a tree really quickly.
Yeah, so he takes off. But we missed the potentially assassination or kidnapping attempt of Santa Claus by those three children, one of which was dressed like Gilligan all the time.
Yeah, they bailed on that plan pretty quickly. They stretched a rope out. And then they, like, tested it to make sure it would trip someone, and then gave up. They were like, oh, fuck it.
Well, yeah. No, they didn't really give up. It's sort of all of a sudden then something came spurshing at them, and I think it was, like, Santa, like, launched
firing
some sort of...
Firing a laser at them?
Well, firing some sort of firework at him is what it looked like. And then they're like, oh, no. And, like, their eyes, like, it was so bright. Like, their eyes were burning. And then they go downstairs, find Cole, and then start fighting amongst themselves.
They still thought they'd actually have presence at that point.
Yeah.
Through intimidation or something. So...
And then he's like actually physically kicking the children, the devil guy.
Yeah, well, them one in the butt. Yeah, and he's egging them on, and he needs to have some kind of fun. Well, that plan backfired. Let's at least have these kids start fighting amongst themselves.
That was the moment where he was like, oh, Lucifer will be pleased.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That whole storyline with those three kids, it doesn't really do anything.
No.
And it doesn't go anywhere.
When you hear them sometimes talking, like, they're talking up some pretty nasty stuff. Like,
they're sociopaths.
Oh, yeah. They never do anything too horrible, but... Man, the stuff they talk about, I'm like, oh man, you're all gonna be like serial killers when you're older. You guys just don't give a shit about anybody.
Or CEOs.
Well, or CEOs of giant companies.
Chain them up and you can continue granting us wishes.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, of course, they're gonna run major corporations, guys.
Oh, I think they're all like Donald Trump campaign managers now.
They're Walmart.
Walmart. And not greeters either.
No, they're the people that run Walmart.
That's right.
Yeah.
We love Walmart, and we'd love to have you as a sponsor.
They wouldn't be Donald Trump supporters. Donald Trump hates Mexicans.
Ba-dum-bum.
Ba-dum-bum. Yeah, so I don't know. But
there aren't enough walls to hold out everybody out of the United States at this point in Trump's eyes.
Yeah, oh well, at this point, he doesn't have to worry about it. If he ever came into power, we'd basically be building a wall to keep them all in. We really, no, you keep that Trump person in there.
Yeah.
We don't want him
No, everybody's going to be in favor of the walls to keep the Americans from going anywhere else.
Sorry, no refugees, guys.
Yeah. Oh, man. We're not going to get too political on this show, but...
No. Let's get back to...
His campaign has been very entertaining, if nothing else.
It's good comedy. My entire political knowledge is the three Donald Trump memes I keep seeing, and that's it. So
that's all you need.
Yeah, because that's pretty much his campaign.
His campaign is just stupid memes. That's the Donald Trump campaign.
Does this feed a lot of jokes to you guys on stage at this point?
Donald Trump stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a Canadian thing specifically, but does it come up in you guys' acts?
I have like a couple jokes about it because he really rips on...
It's hard not to, because it's like politics is always good fodder for comedians, especially when they're crazy.
But it's like, honestly, the things he said are so awful that even repeating them, crowds are like, oh my God, what? Why?
Yeah.
Why
yeah.
remind us?
Yeah, they're like, oh, no, they're right next door, we can't.
Yeah, it's so traumatic, it's like too soon, it's 9/11 traumatic at this point.
He might become president, maybe.
Well, and the thing is, like, that kind of stuff speaks to middle America, and when I get into these conversations with people, I'm like, it got Bush in twice, you know, like, that's the kind of population that's naive enough to go for that.
Oh, no, like, I wouldn't go with naive.
I hope better, because, I mean, we have a large U.S. audience
here. Let's not say naive. Naive implies that they have no ill will. Stupid and fearful.
I think most U.S. people are pretty much over Trump at this point. You know, he went from interesting because he'll say whatever to, wow, you're, like, you're psychotic. So I'm hoping that campaign's run its course and it's over, but... Because he's not really a viable candidate. No. I'm like, not in my mind, but...
For Pete's sake, a bald eagle attacked him.
Yeah, but hey, Americans...
Their country symbol doesn't like him.
But, yeah, exactly. So worst comes to worse, we like refugees. Americans, you are very welcome to come here if he comes into power. We'll take you in.
You might have to.
Are they going to run the election like they used to do American Idol when it first started? Be like, if you like Donald Trump, just dial in now and type in 2275.
I don't know. Who else
is even running? I don't even know.
Well, this is still
Clinton's in there.
Yeah,
this is still to see who runs on the Republican ticket.
Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, this is still deciding who's on the Republican ticket. So.
See, yeah, and I can't think of any other Republicans.
I don't even know if the actual presidential run is going to be this interesting.
Do you know you can make and release a Star Wars movie in less time than it takes an American election campaign?
Oh, you are so right at this point.
Oh my God, isn't that next Friday?
Yeah, well, for everybody who's listening to this podcast, it's actually been opened for a couple of weeks. For us, it opens next Friday.
Yes!
Well, no spoilers, because I haven't seen it yet.
Oddly enough, next week there is a Henry Rollins movie opening the same weekend that I'm sure I'm not going to be able to find in any theater. But, you know, as interesting as Star Wars is to me, I'm kind of over it. So I actually want to... It's Henry Rollins playing Cain, like Cain and Abel Cain.
I want to see Sisters Festival. With Amy
Poehler. Yeah, it seems to be doing all right. And and being the big Rollins fan that I am, I'd rather see that.
So that was great. But back to this movie.
So Star Wars.
Star Wars what? Yeah, Star Wars. So Santa Claus
To be fair, Santa Claus is in space, so Star Wars, slightly appropriate.
Yeah. I'm sure one of you is going to use Star Wars as a remake for this. But
oh, totally. I am now. I had no remake notes. I'm formulating it as we go.
Yeah, I have lots of remake notes.
Well, we're almost there anyway. So Santa Claus gets chased up a tree, uses the toy to scare the dog off.
For Lupita.
And yeah, goes to visit Lupita and leaves the doll, and that's the little Christmas miracle because...
The giant serial killer doll. Like,
yeah.
It was the same size. But
oh, yeah, it's the same size as Lupita.
Like, there were dolls.
And
like
then she has this wonderful... Christmas soliloquy at the end that I don't know if her mouth is even moving. It's just a lot of dubbing over top of her staring out of a window.
Yep, Christmas miracle.
And then it's the nice message to follow the will of God at the end, right?
Of course, yes.
Oh, yeah, the very Catholic message to believe in Jesus Christ and all that stuff.
Well, Santa says it too.
Yeah,
just as he's several leaving, times. He's like, "We will go, and we will go with the Son of God and deliver joy." And they're like, "Yeah."
And I was actually thinking the way this movie was going that he would show up.
I'm not convinced that Santa isn't God, but
we had Merlin.
I think they're going with like the Saint Nicholas handle, the actual like saint angle. I thought was what they were trying to get at.
Even though he looked like Coca-Cola Santa Claus.
Narrator is still God. Did you notice when Pitch was getting told by Lucifer to, like, go and, you know, do evil or whatever it is demons do, while he's doing his interpretive dance around that steaming pile, that they kind of, like, obscured Lucifer's face, but, like, he totally looked like Santa. Did you guys catch that?
No, all like, I could see was just fire.
Well, it was like a beard talking in behind the fire.
I don't know if it was that. I think it was just a cave.
Is Santa his own worst enemy? Find out next episode.
I think Jeff is seeing things.
Yeah,
the rest
just going
real deep in this. Yeah, Jeff saw Stonehenge.
He's
Stonehenge.
Okay, well, before we move on, favorite moments for each of us. Amy, let's start with you. What was your favorite moment of craziness in this crazy movie?
Oh, jeez. I can't even think of anything. You have to go on to someone else.
Okay, I'll go. The doll dance. Like, I want to keep it. It's so bonkers. I like the fact that there's a dream sequence with, like, evil dolls encouraging children to steal.
Yeah, well, I mean, the two big moments of evil in this movie are both, like, the demons dancing in hell and that. And that influencing the dream, that Pitch is influencing the dream. And... I kept thinking, like, interpretive dance is evil. that's what demons do.
No, it's not evil. It's what you use it for, whether it's evil.
Oh, it's their smoking gun?
Interpretive dance doesn't kill people. People kill people. Sorry. I had to do
awesome.
that.
Awesome. Jeff? I mean, you saw things in this movie that nobody else did, so.
Nobody else. I liked a lot of this movie. I think it's a fucking brilliant movie. But I have to say, because I watched it multiple times, that parasol scene, it's not super exciting. Just the way it's done is so bizarre and so ridiculous. And, like, he could have, like, walked down the fire escape faster than that parasol. I don't know. The parasol scene.
It was a hospital elevator level of
movement. My God.
For me, it was here's this creepy person giving drinks to the rich kid's parents.
Yeah.
These smoking drinks. And it was such a crazy scene. Like, you don't see Santa Claus. I think it was an afterthought scene.
Yeah.
Because you just see his hands holding the tray with the drinks.
Yeah. And he's wearing a black
suit. But he's completely honest of what the drinks are. And I'm like, okay, here's this crazy person, and he's basically telling you that this is going to kill you if you aren't in love with each other.
Or if you don't have love or something like
that.
Yeah,
in your hearts or something. And
it's very outside the whole narrative.
Yeah,
too.
And I'm like, well, you're obviously very confident to do this. And Amy is also party girl, so she's totally up for it. Yeah. Let's do some shots with this stuff.
Let's do shots. They could kill you.
It's pretty intense.
You only live one.
Absinthe? Lightweight.
It was about remembering things, and I'm like going, no, I drink to forget.
These people
did
actually forget their child.
But that's the weird thing. Like, they were neglectful, but in a weird way, for most of, like, I don't know, the movies I had growing up, when the parents were neglectful, it's like, oh, I have to work all the time. Like, there was another purpose for which they were neglectful. These two just seemed to just not want to spend time with their child.
They just like to party. There's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Their friends left, and they intended on staying the rest of the evening.
Yeah.
Because they were, like, with another couple.
Yeah, and then like, they went, well, we're going to
keep drinking.
Yeah, we're going to go to a restaurant and keep drinking.
If Rusty gets bored, he'll practice piano.
But hey, like, the Grinch had a key party, so.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
You know, maybe this is just a thing at Christmas time.
There's a lot of Christmas swinging that goes on in movies pre-1970.
Well, I don't know how we keep stumbling upon these erotic Christmas moments.
We go from swinger Christmas to shitters full. Like, it's quite a change in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's get into the real fun of this.
Yes.
Let's remake this fucker.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what this episode's about, and as crazy and nutso and bad as this movie is, there is something really fun in this movie. Mm-hmm. So, we like to start with fantasy casting. I don't know who's got what, but Amy, do you got a fantasy cast for this movie and an idea? Because I think, as far as this movie goes, I think we're going to have the most diverse ideas.
Yeah.
With this presentation. And certainly in my case, I got to explain my movie while I'm explaining my cast. So, I think just give us your ideas and who you'd cast in this film.
Yeah, okay. And no pressure with that setup at all.
No.
Yeah.
No, you'll disappoint a bunch of children out there who shouldn't be listening to our podcast without parental supervision.
Sure. After what we've just been talking about.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, I do put explicit on our podcast for a reason.
Well, I think John Goodman as Santa Claus.
And that did come to mind.
Yeah.
Came across me, too.
Michael Richards as Pitch, I believe.
Just good.
I was inspired by his look. And leave all the children the same. It looks like they might need the money, so.
Or just do what they did. Just pick up random children off the street.
Yeah. So more children. Yeah.
Just troll orphanages.
I didn't bother casting the children because my movie's going to deviate quite significantly anyway. So you could just pick up whatever child actor flavor of the week is, because I don't know my child actors very well anyway.
And I looked around, it's hard, because the thing is, like, we could cast them
we've hit this wall before, so we're just not up to date on our child actors.
Disney flavor of the week, really.
Yeah true.
Yeah, because they all turned into crazy adults, so.
Hey, Annette Funicello was great from beginning to end.
She was the last of the greats.
Kurt Russell?
No, okay, but he comes from that generation.
Mm-hmm.
It's the modern ones that are now in their 20 to 30 range. They're all seem to be absolutely batshit crazy.
Or maybe it's because Miley it's more. Cyrus. Or maybe it's because you can actually see it now.
I think they all just get cloned, and then the DNA starts breaking down once they get of age. It's they're all the sheep of the film.
They started mixing together DNA.
Now, okay, so that's your cast.
Right.
What kind of changes? What would you do to update this film?
Less religious undertones, for sure. Mm-hmm. What else? I'd probably cut Merlin out of the movie completely.
What?
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, no.
No more magic dust powder and magic keys.
Well, I'd maybe change things there, but yeah.
I'd make it a different kind of key.
Yeah, I'm saying I can just blow the doors open or something.
Yeah, or no, I just think key card was like, boop, just he gets in.
I'd do away with the magic tech entirely, but that's just
what?
Me. Oh, you'll see. I've got a certain vision of mine, and that doesn't play into it, so. Yeah.
Yeah, and just play the theme of Seinfeld behind the whole thing. Okay.
Nice. The Santa Claus movie. There's nothing happens in the Santa Claus movie.
Now we're going to have to insert that into that.
Cool.
Yay for post-production.
Nice. Yeah, that's all my ideas.
What about, like, Satan versus Santa? Any, like...
I feel like the battle could have been more epic.
Yes.
That dog, no. I want them fist fighting.
Oddly enough, actually, I still have a dog.
Rocky style.
I still have a dog.
Yeah. Nice.
I want a full fist fight for the end.
Great idea.
You know, have the devil tap out.
The sleigh, Sputniks?
Yeah, and of course, yeah, Sputniks for the sleigh.
Those reindeer. I like that idea.
All with reindeer names on them.
Yeah.
Actually, they should still look like satellites or Sputniks, but still have antlers.
Yeah, there we go.
Because, you know, there's no aerodynamics in space.
Or no, just antlers painted on them.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Just on the side. Just a name and antlers. That would work. Because it's going to affect the aerodynamics.
Give me your cast.
Okay. My cast. I went a little bit different because I was like, well, let's stick close to its Mexican roots. And here's what I did. I started with the director. I went with Guillermo del Toro. Oh,
one of our four directors on this show.
Yeah, awesome. Well, see, I thought about going there, and then I deliberately didn't because I go there often.
Yeah.
But it certainly plays to my vision.
Ah, yeah, see, that's it. Because I want it, like I said, when I want with that doll scene, it's like I want a Nightmare Before Christmas. Like I want a Pan's Labyrinth type of feel to it. I want more.
Yeah.
Of the darkness and the majesty and like
my
the
pitch has no eyes. His horns are coming from his eye stalks and then wrapping around his head nice and tightly and then coming back around like ram's horns. Oh, I actually started drawing it and I'm like, it's not a visual podcast. What the fuck?
Well, you can put that on like our Facebook page.
I could.
If you'd like, maybe to see I'll finish it, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Invasion of the Remake.
With a
care of North Pole.
With a check.
Yeah, posted
cashier's
page guy.
Check.
And I struggled with Santa. I couldn't really find something. I was trying to find like a really good Mexican actor because I wanted to keep it Mexican. I didn't want to whitewash this movie,
Danny
guys.
Trejo.
Did not want to whitewash it. Actually, no. He's in here.
Perfect. He has to be.
There was a guy. I kind of passed by. This guy's just sort of a placeholder until I can find somebody else, but he's coming up. Damien Bichir, he was in Weeds, the TV series. Mm-hmm. And
I
also
only watched one episode.
Also is coming out as the Mexican in The Hateful Eight. So okay. He will be an up-and-comer. We could get him in cheap on this one. So
opening soon in theater near you.
Yes. I kept Merlin, but I made him younger and more impish and not so stupid. So I went with Gael Garcia Bernal.
Mm-hmm.
I made him like just a young kind of kid. I kept the blacksmith who I made Danny Trejo.
Yay! Danny Trejo.
Because I want him in this movie. I think it would be wonderful.
Can he glue on the same orange chest hair that the guy in this movie had?
Oh, I don't want that for Danny Trejo. Oh,
it was great. You could tell there was a fan. Cause
I want tattooed Danny Trejo. That's what I want. I want like behind bars Danny Trejo to be Vulcan. And then like I didn't really have anything. Lupita, I couldn't really cast. I'm like, because I might not really keep her. I might just keep like kind of different interlocking stories. I want it to be like where the devil and Santa are actually going to battle against like trying to make other people do stuff. Like I'm gonna ditch most of the stuff that happens at the castle. Like that's gonna be basically 10 minutes tops, 15 minutes. The entire movie is gonna take place when Santa's down on Earth. Like the idea of him being in space is fine, but it's more of a side note to what I want to do.
Right.
And but for I also had for what did I have for Pitch the demon, not Mexican, but I like him, John Leguizamo. Mm-hmm. I want him to be in there. I love him. I think he's great.
Because he needs to be on his knees for one more movie yet.
I think he would be great. And like for what I did is I got rid of the children and I think I should just have elves. And like have just anybody who could do it, just a large bunch of elves, that adult elves that know what they're doing, and possibly you can think, hey, maybe this is a corporation and not a giant slave labor camp. But yeah, like in the stuff, I'm keeping the stuff with the doll because that's gonna be part of like a tempting thing for like maybe one child, but like have a few interlocking stories, get rid of the sociopathic boys, ditch them wholesale, but have it mostly basically kind of a back and forth with the devil and Santa going head to head when it comes to like individual people. That's sort of what my vision of it is, but like with that, like I say, that Pan's Labyrinth, more of a fantasy feel.
Yeah, I was thinking along my lines too. I was thinking that dark gothic fantasy aspect, but you know, more would still keep it PG-ish.
Yeah, like we were talking before, like it's a Gremlins. It's scary, but it's not like for too scary scary.
Yeah, yeah, the dark fantasy kind of idea. What do you got, Jeff?
Well, not a whole lot. I like the idea of crafting it into like an anthology style movie where you would have like three or four stories that encompass like, you know, the kids struggling with that, with not having enough and like wanting to steal, and
individual stories along his journey.
The three stories should be good, but could be compartmentalized with an overarching story. I think eliminating the religious overtones in this movie is not something I would do. One of the things I was thinking of watching this movie, which also backs up my theory that this thing hadn't been invented in 5 or 6 years, was that if you took that kind of weird spirituality out of it with the demon and Santa and whatever else, and the mysticism, that you're just making a Krampus movie and like, hey, we have like 50 of those now, so it's not a big deal. Yeah. Also, if Krampus did exist, it would be in this movie, so supports my theory that Krampus was invented 6 years ago for angry douchebags who want to have something to look forward to for the holidays. But so I would like maybe give a little backstory, because Santa said something to their age. I don't know if you caught that.
Yeah, he said he was a few centuries younger
than Lucifer. Clearly that they know each other.
Yeah.
So that maybe there's like something that happened, and maybe Pitch is like a fallen Santa or something weird like that.
Well, like, I like the idea of their being a, and that may be one of your compartmentalized stories, is that story, that backstory.
Yeah, that would be your, like, that would be your lead in, would be like, okay, there's some history with Santa and this demon. It doesn't have to be the devil specifically. I'm liking the idea of a fallen Santa. Like, why can that not have existed? And if it's interplanetary, you could go anywhere. This movie's pretty broad in stroke, so I don't know. I like the anthology idea. I think that there needs to be some kind of history and a clear direction for the demon, because like it's kind of like nonsense. Oh yeah,
it's abstract. It's like, just do kind of this thing, and it's not,
yeah, sort of make kids act like jerks and then near the end plot to murder Santa Claus,
like,
and not even like just to kill him, like have him die of starvation,
or yeah, which is part of it. But or you could have it like where the anthology part of it is the devil has given him, like you say, a very clear mission, but these are specific targets that the devil wants done. Like, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, and that's something I was thinking of with the child labor force. I actually kind of like that aspect of the movie, but I thought that maybe you could establish it as being a sort of a reward system. It would be like, oh, if you were extra good just before you hit that age where you no longer believe in Santa or whatever, that you would get to go, like, go up and like renew your faith in Christmas or whatever. But that the targets could be like these kids that were going to like be rewarded by hanging out in Santa's.
But see, that doesn't seem
and
like
it
a
totally
reward.
Would be like a way over the top Pee-wee's Playhouse cast.
But like, maybe make it like,
oh,
it,
I kind of figured you'd go
but
there.
Could you make it look like a reward and not like a punishment to totally be making toys in the snow all the time?
Now like play, it just play your ukulele and shut up.
It looks like just another version of hell. Like, it just doesn't look right.
Well, at least you have country appropriate costuming.
True.
Well, those poor naked Africans in the snow. Oh. My God.
But
damn.
To be fair, actually, there's one other thing I forgot to add that I'd like to keep in there, where they have Lupita's idea, like, or at least a storyline with her, where it's, yeah, no, Santa doesn't like me, but it's because she's poor. Mm-hmm. Like, to maybe talk to that. To
the
poor children who are always thinking, oh, Santa just thinks
Santa
I'm an asshole.
Does Santa visit poor people?
Or like, why?
That's tragic.
Why would he just...
That's a good
I can be as good as I want, but it doesn't make any goddamn difference.
And, well,
and I think that's
on it
more...
In this, but they,
relevant now with the separation of classes these days.
Oh, for sure.
You know, the 1% and stuff, it's getting, the middle class is slowly disappearing. And I think that particular story might even be more relevant now.
Oh, for sure.
So that would be, I think, something I'd keep at least as a smaller story within the structure of the film, for sure.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, it's still a Christmas movie, so you need something with a little bit of heart.
Yes.
In there. Yeah.
Totally. And that's what her purpose is in this original.
Yeah. Like, even in the face of, what's the word? Even in the face of, like, a struggle, an ongoing struggle, she still chooses to remain good.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is, I think, part of the strength of the film. So, you know, that stays.
And I leave the parasol.
You're going to fight for that parasol.
Tooth and nail.
Well, my movie gets rid of all of that craziness, the mouth machine. And,
oh, that's just so unnerving.
I'm going the dark gothic look of this film. I like the kingdoms idea. I don't particularly like that they're in space, but I like the idea of these fantasy kingdoms, and I would think I kind of flash back to Narnia.
See, for me, the space thing makes sense because then they can't find it. Like, why can you never find Santa's workshop? Because it's in space.
But they don't really see Pitch. I would get rid of the sand and the flower as well.
Yeah.
Like, these are mystical beings, and they don't operate on the same plane of reality as the rest of us. So I'd have this rather detailed fantasy world where, you know, Santa has his castle. That's why Merlin's there. Because even though this is a heavily Catholic film, you have all these mixtures of mythologies and stories.
Yeah, like Greek mythologies.
And there's paganism and all sorts of stuff in here. So let's embrace all that. Let's embrace all that. So, you know, there's the Greek mythology, and these are all separate kingdoms, and you could really expand on that as a fantasy world. And now you've got your fantasy, you know, the fantasy bad guys. You'd have Lucifer and sending Pitch to, you know, on his annual war with Santa Claus. And I like the backstory that Jeff kind of was hinting at, and I think we could build upon that of the thing with Pitch. Now, Pitch, for me, it'd be small and wiry. I wouldn't cast an actor to play him specifically, because my guy is probably CG mocapped, because I want him kind of creepy, crawling on people when he's influencing them and sitting, literally, you know, wrapping around and sitting on their shoulders and almost snake-like. You know, or monkey-like. He'd be pretty creepy looking, you know.
Would he be like a shapeshifter type of deal too?
No, because he's not being seen. He's passively influencing.
Okay.
He could still influence reality in some respect, but because these are mystical beings.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into my cast a little bit. For my director, I had Jean-Pierre Jeunet. He directed Amelie, City of Lost Children, and Delicatessen. So my really twisted world is very supported with this guy.
Delicatessen, I can see how that...
Initially, I was thinking Guillermo del Toro, but I'm like, these guys have a similar aesthetic, and I use Guillermo a lot. So,
well, I went...
I would hire Guillermo's special effects people, though.
Oh, yeah, no. That's the other reason I went with Guillermo, because I wanted Alfonso Cuarón to be part of it.
Yeah. So... I went with that visual aspect, and he's already done a Twisted Santa Claus, so we can go back to that well a little bit. Now, I was a little torn by my Santa Claus. I could do badass, very serious Santa Claus, which would have been Ray Winstone, because he's already starting to look like him.
Oh.
Or I could go a little more fun, and my fun Santa Claus was Jeff Bridges. Both would change the tone of the film.
Yeah,
so,
like Jeff Bridges is Amelie and Ray Winstone is Delicatessen.
Yeah, so I'm not sure which one I'd embrace. I mean, with my vision, I think Ray Winstone fits a little bit better, as much as I like the idea of Jeff Bridges in that
but
role.
But maybe if you're, I don't know, it depends, like the tone, do you want to go like full-on gothic scary, or if you want a lighthearted gothic,
I still want it,
you could have Jeff.
Accessible to children, so, you know, somewhere in that Gremlins level of scary, right? Or even Edward Scissorhands kind of level. You know, that gothic look without being inaccessible.
Then maybe go light on your Santa Claus.
So, yeah, so I was thinking maybe Jeff Bridges would lighten things up a little bit. Because Ray Winstone, there's a Santa Claus I wouldn't piss off.
If it was a horror movie Santa Claus, I'd be like Ray Winstone all the way.
Yeah, yeah. So
he'll scare the crap out of anybody.
He would. My pitch is voiced, and maybe you could use him as mocap too, was Tom Hiddleston.
Oh,
I was thinking Loki, kind of, because he's the trickster. He's the liar, right? So Loki just instantly popped in my head. And
I could listen to him all day.
There you go. And, of course, you need a boss for pitch. So I had Ron Perlman voicing Lucifer. I'd still keep him off camera as the voice of Lucifer, but it's...
It'll be him or Clancy Brown.
Right? Yeah, like and my I still Brown, have great. Merlin because I want to keep those kingdoms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Merlin, I'm not sure exactly now that I'm eliminating technology, but you know, maybe the you could still have that sand or something that makes people fall asleep or whatever.
But make it look like a crystal meth type
or maybe he's the instead of influencing the children, because these are things that I think are inherent part of Santa Claus per se, he's the one that kind of arms Santa Claus, because this happens every year.
Yeah.
Pitch is there to fuck things up every single year. So he's kind of him and Vulcan are the Ooh. Ones who kind of arm Santa Claus
between
in
the
battle.
Two of them, like kind of a James Bond Q type of
in
deal.
In a way, yeah.
Oh, that would be fun.
Now I didn't cast Vulcan, but I did cast my Merlin.
Make him Danny Trejo.
And I wanted to keep him a little fun, as a little bit of comic relief, but not ridiculous where he's clopping everywhere he walks. But I wanted him to be a bit snarky. And I'm trying to embrace certain legends with Merlin. So if we're going present day, like, he's an old man in Camelot's time. And in the legend, he ages backwards. So he'd be young in my movie. Or younger. Mm-hmm. And I went with a snarky Dylan Moran in that role, where he's a little more snarky, sarcastic.
That's true. He'd be great as Merlin.
Yeah. So
he would be so unhelpful.
That's how I wanted him to be, snarky and just a
Bernard Black dude.
I was thinking Black Books when I was casting him, and I'm like, I want him to be as snarky as Q is to Bond, right?
Oh, then he would totally do that.
Yeah. So that's kind of my idea.
Love that idea.
Wrapping around, and I would totally embrace your anthology style, bridging stories. They'd be separate stories that would kind of flow together within the body of the film, like Trick or Treat did.
Yeah, or like Love Actually type of deal, where they're sort of related, but...
Yeah, so you'd have these little personal stories. I mean, I would definitely do the history with Santa's pitches, one of your stories as your lead-in. And I would probably close with Lupita on a feel-good note, or that Lupita-esque idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you could do something fun in the middle, but now that you've set up these kingdom things, I would end up with something a little bigger, you know, rather than chasing Santa up a tree. I would have him finish his rounds, and maybe Pitch gets a little bit of upper hand on his way back, and now you can have something happen in the fantasy lands that they live. There's no space. But now you could have, because we've got Greek mythology happening in Merlin's time and all this stuff. So, you know, here's your opportunity to do something big Lord of the Rings, Narnia-ish.
Like, it could not, it might not even be just Pitch. Like, it's Pitch and, like, some of his other demon buddies.
I would bring in more things like that. Half your movie happens on Earth and the other half of your movie happens in those fantasy lands. Because let's face it, if you're going to spend that kind of money to do all this, let's make it look big and grand.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, let's put giants and centaurs and all sorts of crazy, awesome stuff in there, right? And embrace all mythologies, you know, and that takes out the heavy Catholic tones while still respecting them.
Mm-hmm.
But you're respecting all these other legends and mythologies and whatnot, because they all exist. They're all viable, because the version of Santa Claus is a little different depending on which region of the world you're in. So let's just embrace all of these little things, because Santa Claus isn't a Christian idea. It became a Christian idea, a Catholic idea, but it has groundings in paganism as well.
Yeah. And like, I think the original idea where Santa Claus was first like documented is the kind where it is now, where Turkey is now, was the origin of that story.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not... what we think of as like the Coca-Cola. Yeah. It's not very Christian. It's not like UK.
I'd make my Santa Claus look a little bit more in that historic look, not that Coca-Cola classic look. You know, I would take the red away and get into that more greens and that leafy look.
I wonder, would you change him like to stay with the mythologies of it? Would you have him sort of slightly different where he was delivering presents? Because he would be different in those places, according if you're looking at the mythology.
I think it would be different depending on the belief.
He has a different outfit, like in Germany. He's like,
because he's
changes on the sleigh,
and that's something.
No, he just magically transforms.
How about this? Because children have a much more different perception of the world than adults do. Adults can't see him, but children. Maybe that's why that's why they have to go to sleep, because they have the possibility of seeing it, because they have a much more open view of the world. And that's where you would have
an adult he doesn't have to worry about.
Yeah, and this is where the different perceptions of how he would look in those regions would be. And this is the magical aspect of Santa Claus or Saint Nicholas or however in those regions. And so his look would shift depending on the perception of those children.
Yeah. Ooh. See, there you go. Because, you're dealing with all the mythology. You've kind of got to encompass all the Santa Claus mythology, which does change. And there are differences all around the world.
See, this movie I'd see.
See, that's a great thing. There's the nugget of this idea is brilliant.
It is.
And within this nugget of idea, a great movie can be born.
Yeah. Well, at least a good one.
I think it could be a great movie.
Thing I thought that was truly unique about the 1959 Santa Claus was that it was trying its best to be as inclusive as possible, rather than showing like one version of.
Oh well, that's why they had all the different types of children held there.
Different types of children, and
it was trying to be inclusive while throwing Catholicism down their throats at the same time. It's more like a bunch of different puzzles pieces from different puzzles being shoved together into.
No, they dropped all the boxes and they swept up a couple, and we're like, "Well, fuck it, we'll just make this right." But instead of being so one sided, like Miracle on 34th and It's a Wonderful Life and stuff, which is all very one, you know, this is how this Christmas legend is. This one was trying to work everything in, which I admired in that movie. I thought it was good. So that needs to stay. You need to have all that stuff.
Okay. So and now we've got some good structure here. Anything you want to add to this one, Amy?
Yeah.
I think we got it in structure of a fairly good movie now.
Oh, no. I think you guys just about covered it. I can't think of anything else I would add.
Definitely you have to have a different sleigh. I love the idea. Way. I love Amy's sleigh. No, not creepy robot sleigh.
No, I want...
Modern sleigh.
I want reindeer, man. Mine's a fantasy world, so I want giant reindeer.
I want Matt Damon's pulling the sleigh.
There we go, yes. Wearing antlers and big red nose. And
no shirts, antlers, pulling the sleigh.
She just wants a bunch of hot guys with no shirts on the sleigh. we're doing the porn parody.
No. Well, no, if you're thinking of shaking all mythologies, you can have, shirtless Matt Damon centaur pulling the sleigh.
No centaurs. Then it's slavery.
The horse part is no.
Yeah. Come on. It'll be fun.
No night. Matt Damon giant horse cock?
Yeah, I was going to say that, but I thought, no, Jason's got this. Yeah.
I do. I got to cover. Whatever bad right thing, now. whatever line that we shouldn't cross, I will cross that line for you.
I was just thinking that phrase needs to be cut out of this episode, not like permanently, but just so we can use it as a header for every...
At some point, one of our fans will
make the remake.
We'll make a dance Matt Damon remix.
Matt Damon Horsecock. Hashtag Matt Damon Horsecock.
Hashtag.
Save Matt Damon.
Okay, well, you guys can always be a part of the conversation. You can join us over on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, Invasion of the Remake, and Twitter. We're on Twitter at Invasion Remake, and of course you can email us directly at invasionoftheremake@gmail.com. And of course, tell your friends about the podcast. We're on Stitcher, we're on iTunes, Player FM, Tune In, and a bazillion other podcatchers. Just let everybody know that. Search us out and spread the good word about the show, and do us a solid. And of course, rate, review, and subscribe. It helps us out immensely in getting us up on the boards. And yes. Who knows, you know, maybe we'll at some point we'll that'll attract advertisers, but I don't know. Are we those corporate shills? Are we going to bow down to our corporate masters?
We've just spent a few episodes just talking about the commercialization of Christmas.
Yeah, I'm not going to say any, that we're not either, because, you know, I'm not, I won't object to a check or two.
No, you take it and the Grinch will come and steal it.
This is how this starts.
Yeah.
That's true. I just want the equipment and my podcast hosting to get covered at some point. But, I'll do this for free for the rest of my life if I have to.
For sure.
This is a fun podcast to do. So, and let's face it, Hollywood is never going to let us go on the remakes, ever.
No, we will keep doing this until they stop.
Wasn't there a couple new ones that just got announced this where you guys keep up on that?
I think
stuff?
Was it Logan's Run?
That's been in the talks for a long time.
But yeah, it seems to be getting back on track again, Logan's Run. I'm kind of waiting to hear more on Flash Gordon. I think we're going to see see a lot of revisiting that space-faring sci-fi stuff. Let's face it, that happens every time Star Wars kicks up. So,
yeah, there'll
and
be more.
If it's actually successful.
which, what makes you think it won't be?
Yeah, no, it already is and hasn't opened for us. It has for you listening to us.
Pre-sale tickets is already doing
fine. This is airing on the 30th, so it's already been open for a couple of weeks. But for us, it hasn't opened yet.
Did you guys check out Electric Boogaloo, the story of Canon Films?
No, still have to check that out.
I didn't even know this existed. I would totally watch this.
Yeah, it's incredible. Such a great documentary. I watched it on Netflix, on American Netflix. So if you have a PS3 or a Xbox or whatever, you can watch it on American Netflix. It's easy. But really, really interesting. They talk a bit about some of the sci-fi that they had made. And like Canon Films, you know, kind of is famous for a certain style of movie.
Yes, they are.
But one of the things that they mentioned about science fiction was that, you know, we kind of went... Oh, and you know what? And it isn't even this documentary. That was a great documentary. What I'm talking about is a documentary about Star Trek. There's a documentary about the creation of The Next Generation that was written, directed, interviewed by William Shatner.
Oh, yeah. I heard about this one.
Yeah, I can't remember what the hell it's called. But terribly interesting to see.
I hear it's not overly favorable to Roddenberry, though.
Well, yeah. It's that stage in his life, right?
Where he was very ill.
Very ill and crazy and whatever. But they all, like, gush about what a visionary he was.
Okay.
So speaking of science fiction and, like, you know, dipping back into the well of old science fiction, they made a comment that rings very true that, you know, science fiction, like, probably from the 50s was kind of, like, all anti-nuclear stuff and Cold War fear-mongering and whatever. But kind of, like, later in the 60s and... 70s and into the 80s and stuff, it was all very, like, not as idealistic looking forward to the future, but there was always, like, all this great stuff that was to come with science fiction. And in recent years, it's all this, like, super dark dystopian stuff. And, like, every single one you get, it's, like, the end of something, the end of the world, an invasion, blah, 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 blah. And it would be nice if they dipped back into the science fiction well to bring back some of that, like,
the hopefulness
and visionariness, mm-hmm. and like need for exploration and growth and progress. Would be nice to see that come.
I think, and then I think, yeah, I think people are kind of yearning for that. The Mars exploration seems to be the next thing. Like, that's where people are going to go next.
But do you think it's also where the time frame of it is? Like, looking at the world, right, when you look at the state of the world when there's, like, hopeful science fiction, like, there was a lot of upheaval, but there was a lot of people, like, fighting to make the world a better place, and maybe that's where the hopefulness comes.
Mm-hmm.
And now you look around the world, like, oh, stuff's going downhill. Like, maybe that's why it's dystopian.
The space exploration should have never slowed down the way it had, but because a lot of that's funded by U.S. military at the time. They just channeled that elsewhere. But now you're getting these super rich guys who are getting into the game as well, and new technologies are being developed to make it more viable. And we're at a point, it's not just hopefulness, but we're at a point where we need to start exploring soon and need to start branching out. You know, it's not going to happen in my lifetime, but... You know, it's at a point where we need to find more planets sustainable for us.
Well, was that Earth 2?
That's
on The Flash.
That's an awesome show. I love that. That's like one season. Let's talk about that television show, Earth 2. Tim Curry.
Oh yeah, I love that show.
Tim
Curry
was totally villain. He lived in a satellite, and Clancy Brown had like long curly hair. That show was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was only a one season show.
And
but
the aliens
look great on that show.
The Terrans healed a crippled kid, and he can like walk and communicate. That was a great show.
You guys can get that on DVD off Amazon. So I got to create an Amazon portal for us. Maybe that's how we get some revenue.
There you go. Because Amazon, the giant corporation.
I'll take a little bit of their dollar.
We have to. They're taking everybody else's.
We need some media that isn't, and by media I mean like movies and books and things, that is less afraid of things and more just forward looking. Like,
yeah, I don't feel like we have that in film right now.
We totally don't. I can't think of a movie I've watched.
I think it's because people, it's
like, wow.
I think the video games are doing more of that than we are.
We've been stuck in like the same type of conflict for decades now. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like to be stuck in it this long, you can see why there's no way
forward. There's been a couple of...
Before then, max, most of our wars, like 6 years,
yeah,
max.
There's been a couple of decades now of fear-mongering, and, you know, it's time to be brave and explore these new ideas, and it's okay to do so. I mean...
Go ahead. Make a 1950 Santa Claus movie with the devil and Merlin and... Yeah. Kiwi Playhouse.
Oh, I mean, we're in such a fucking PG or PC generation right now, too, where it's like, you can't have the devil that's teaching against, you know, Satanism. Well, come on. It's you know, it's all
fantasy.
We can't
have African.
Well, that's the thing. With all the mythology, that's the great thing. Like, if you embrace all the mythology, that's the only thing I have.
That's how you can get around it a little bit, too, is, you know, because inevitably some hate group is going
to. Well, that's what I felt was the whole idea to go back with, like, we want to teach creationism in school.
I'm surprised
they didn't then. And I'm like, going, yeah. But no, but here's the thing. I'm all for teaching creationism as long as you teach all the creationism, like every single version of it and every single culture all across humanity. If you want to do that, you get to have that. But if you don't, then fuck you. We're sticking with science.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Santa Claus.
Here's another controversial episode of Invasion of the Remake.
Sorry, that type of shit just gets to me. I'm all
Mexican
for having
Santa
like a
Claus
devil
didn't
thing.
Discount creation.
No. Yeah,
it implied it.
I was kind of, I'm surprised even now, like thinking
but
about
I did like
the society
how
at the time that
the
didn't
demon
get
demon was centuries old.
Yeah.
Maybe a little anti-creationist.
No, like,
yeah.
I just, that's the thing. Like, if we add all the mythologies into my field, being more egalitarian about it it's just easier.
Yeah. And it steers it away from any particular religious
particular
bend.
Faith.
Yeah.
And I think that's the point. Like, the point of Santa Claus was the fact that it's gone through like all these different variations and then exists in all these different countries is because it's not the sole proprietary thing. Like, that should be of one particular culture in any sort of form.
Yeah. When we've said this before that
it was always been said that he visits all the children around the world.
Yeah. Exactly. So
he's not going to be a dick about it if you don't exist in the same place.
Santa's not a dick about it. Next time on Invasion of the Remake.
Well, I think we've kind of covered it. Any last thoughts before we head out to our New Year's festivities?
In 2 weeks, yeah.
In 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks.
I'm trying to be topical for everybody who's actually listening to this on the 30th.
It's great. I don't know. I think this is, it's there. This is why we started this podcast, is like a movie with a nugget of an idea.
Yeah, and I think this was our best choice as far as creating something new from something old. I did not like this movie at all.
Oh, yeah. But if you want to check it out, it's on YouTube.
Yeah, watch it on
YouTube. It is on YouTube. I think it's a public domain.
And it's an entirety.
Film,
it's public domain. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just YouTube Santa Claus 1959 and you notice it has the devil.
If this seems familiar to some of you guys, it was covered on a Mystery Science Theater 3000 episode. So,
was it?
Yes.
It's like fifth season somewhere.
Yeah, and actually the
or
episode
box
of...
box sets... 14?
The character of Pitch actually showed up in several other episodes.
Yeah, they wound up using him as
a
regular cast.
They wound up using the character as regular cast.
You know what show I don't like? Mystery Science Theater. I'm just going to say it. That show's dumb.
I don't know I've ever really watched
if
one.
If I want to watch
I've only
a movie,
enjoyed a couple of them.
I have watched one.
If I want to watch a movie with a hilarious commentary... I'll invite some friends over, and we'll watch a movie, and it'll be hilarious. I don't want to sit there and have someone else tell me what's funny about it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But enjoy our podcast where we tell you about movies. Hypocrite, what?
As we've always sometimes discussed, maybe doing a commentary track, I think. Now that you just said that, I'm like, I'm going to take that off the table.
No, leave it on the table. We'll do it.
Leave it on.
No, we'll do it, and Jeff will eat it.
I admire that show for bringing movies that I like that kind of movie to the forefront, so get a broader audience for things that you wouldn't normally ever watch, you know, like Laser Blast or EAG or whatever.
Or broader audience to the enjoyable experience of sometimes watching something that isn't great.
Yeah,
but there's just wonderful weirdness in there that you can just enjoy.
Yeah, totally. And that is exactly why I loved this movie, because it is a wash in weirdness.
It's insane.
I knew Jeff would really like this movie. It was hard for me, it's going in regular rotation. I think we should have watched this all together, because watching it by myself was hard. But if I got to watch this with other people and as an audience where we could have heckled the shit out of this thing.
If there's another struggle movie we come up with, we'll watch it together.
And you vetoed Santa Conquers the Martians.
Yeah, I did. Because I didn't find anything redeemable in that one.
This one's amazing. Same generation and same kind of movie.
No. This one is better.
For an upcoming Christmas episode, maybe 2-3 years down the road, we are doing Santa Conquers the Damn Martians.
There was a good reason I chose this one and not Santa Conquers the Martians.
I don't know. With Star Wars have just opened, the Martians might have worked better, but we came up with something really awesome this episode. Yes. So.
Well, you two did. I just sat here.
I don't know. No. Your anthology thing plays really good into this. So, I mean, I think we all pieced together something.
And the fact
really cool
that having a fallen Santa hadn't even crossed my mind. That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah. And then Amy's...
Sputnik.
One person cast.
Oh, I love it.
Her all Matt Damon film.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Matt Damon in every role. I would watch that.
Matt Damon saves
the one man show.
It'll be a stage production.
That's right.
Matt Damon Saves Christmas.
Yeah, a musical stage production. Okay. Songs by Elton John.
All right, well, thanks for joining us, Amy.
Thanks for having me.
Do you got anything to plug right now before we go?
I'm on Twitter at Amy_bug. It's bug with 2 G's, and that's about it.
Okay.
No upcoming shows post-New Year?
In Calgary, I'm trying to think post-New Year's. Hosting Red Carpet in February, but nice. I don't know. You can just Google that at redcarpetcomedy.com.
There you go. You have a podcast yourself, don't you?
Yeah, it's called The Fun Guzzlers. It's available on iTunes and SoundCloud. I do it with another local comedian named Brittany.
Innuendo.
that's kind of where it came from.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, I'm Jason.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Trish.
Amy.
and we're out of here. Well, sorry.
That's my line. Fucking line. I got one line.
Sorry, Invasion of the Remake is experiencing casting problems at this time. Please tune in next time.
Yeah. And we're out of here. And surely I'll be mine. We'll take the cup of kindness and for our time. We feel we are bound to preserve the time we spend.